How a company's business systems are organized sets us up for success or endless trouble when it comes to doing business with the federal government. Contracting veteran Tim Sullivan has authored the blog 10 Myths of Government Contracting. I've been exploring these myths with him in a series of interviews. Today, Sullivan tackles myth number 8. We can treat our government customers the same way we treat our commercial customers. He says if you do, it's just a matter of time before you get into trouble.
If a company treats its government customers in the very same manner it treats its commercial customers, it's just a matter of time before it gets into trouble, and sometimes big trouble. And you and I were talking last week about on myth number 7 about entertainment, for example, and gratuities. And this myth points out, that myth number 8, that if you think you're going to be entertaining these people the same way you entertain your commercial customers, that could lead to big problems, not only for you, but for your customer. And you never want to do anything that's going to be embarrass your customer. So before you get into this business, you have to actually study it to understand what you're getting into and not just how much money you can make. And that's a big mistake that a lot of people make. That's one example. The other example that we see time after time is that companies have no idea that if they're going to hope to be successful with Uncle Sam, they have to have a disciplined, dedicated group of people who are focused on administering those federal contracts. It just can't be something that's dispersed among 4 or 5 people, as we've seen so many times. That is a guaranteed path to disaster. So a contract administrator is worth his or her weight in gold for any company, and that is something people learn the hard way.
What are some of the special things that happen in federal contracts that such an administrator would have to watch for that may not happen on the commercial side?
Well, there are a lot of deadlines in government contracts. For example, if you got something, let's say you're performing a contract and someone's not happy with you at the receiving end, you might get a letter called a show cause notice or a cure notice. Well, if that were an experienced government contractor getting that letter, that sets off a lot of alarms, bells, and whistles. But commercial contractors really look at these kinds of things. They're not sure what it means, and they may put it on their to-do list. And by the time they get talking to their lawyers about it, the deadline is either passed or it's about to hit tomorrow morning in terms of responding to the government in a way that will prevent being default terminated. These deadlines are a problem for people who don't understand them. Accounting systems. If you're simply a commercial organization and you have an accounting system that is just fine by generally accepted accounting principles, that may not necessarily mean it's fine in terms of surviving a government audit, because these government auditors come in looking for things that you've never shown anybody outside the company before, and they can lead to problems.
That means you have to know your way around the Defense Contract Audit Agency, for example, if you're on the DoD side.
Well, you would. Now, those are the auditors that would do it, and they've got their own Bible, their handbook. But you start with the regulations. These auditors come in, and when they do these audits, it's in accordance with FAR Part 31, the cost section of the FAR. And commercial contractors wouldn't know that from a racehorse. And so they get blindsided if they get subjected to an audit. It's just because they haven't done their homework.
And I guess it's incumbent on these contract managers that you would have that they probably should not be from your West Coast or your Milwaukee or whatever headquarters, but they should be on the ground, probably close to where the buyer likely is in Washington or one of the big federal centers.
Well, I actually think that is exactly right, Tom. You want to centralize this function, and you want it to be where the men and women who are your contract administrators can see the salespeople and the performance people face-to-face on a regular basis and develop relationships with them, because they need to be functioning as a team and not 3 separate agendas, for example, within an organization. And that can easily happen if you don't work to centralize them and have them working together on a regular basis. And I would say that another part of the component here is you got to train everybody. What happens, we've seen this hundreds of times, companies have one group of people chase the business, they win it, and then they hand it over to another totally different group to perform the contract. And that's like leaving them in a room with a grizzly bear. You got to train them as to what they've just been given, why it's different, why it's unusual, what type of contract is it, what are the problems that we anticipate, what's the scope of work. You've got to train everybody who's involved in this federal contracting effort, because it is not a commercial deal.
We're speaking with Tim Sullivan. He's a partner at Thompson Coburn and author of the 10 myths of federal contracting. And I wanted to get back to a fine point on what you mentioned earlier, which is entertainment and that kind of thing. If you walk around the perimeter of the suite level, say at FedEx Field, there's government contractor after government contractor, big aerospace name after big aerospace name on those suite doors. And you can't give those tickets and seats to your federal customers. And they all know that. They don't try. Sometimes, though, they offer, if, say, the customer's really a big football fan and they're willing to pay for their own ticket to come in that suite, that's probably not fully kosher either, is it?
Well, it's probably fine. I mean, but you got to keep a record of it somehow. And that's what most people don't do. And if you ever get investigated by an IG, you've got to be able to show them that you paid for it. And that's where the problem is. People just aren't used to doing it. So you're probably better off avoiding it altogether. But what you're touching on is it's the appearance of it. If someone should see you, and with Murphy's Law operating as it does in this world, someone's going to see you, the wrong person, they're going to get the wrong ideas, they might blow the whistle, and it just leads to a downward spiral. So you're right. They're probably better off not touching it anyway. Even if in the end they could clear themselves, the fact is, why even bother with it in the first place? Just don't go there.
And there's some other issues in the whole customer relation area that you mentioned, too, in this blog, and that is pricing and price reductions and so forth. Totally different animal in the federal area than it is in commercial.
It is different. And what I focused on in this myth number 8 was the federal supply schedule, which is notorious for a clause called the price reduction clause. And basically what that says is that, look, if during the performance of this contract, and these things go for years, if during the performance of this contract, the life of this contract, you give the profile customer, the customer relationship that we relied on for establishing our pricing, if you give them any better pricing breaks, you must give it to us. And think about it, Tom. You're a national company. You've got sales people all over the country. Maybe 10% of them sell to Uncle Sam. The other 90% are selling to commercial customers, including your profile customer. If your sales force isn't trained and disciplined, you can find yourself going awry on this clause, and it leads to some serious issues for these contractors. They just line up with these investigations on violations of the price reduction clause. That's the example we use, and it's a scary one.
Yeah, you've seen some big contractors that have been since technology started, really, that have paid back tens of millions of dollars rather than fight those price reduction clauses.
Right.
Or suits household brought names, against them.
Household names. People slip on these things all the time, and it's usually because the sales force has not been trained and disciplined. I don't mean disciplined, punished. I mean trained and rigorously told that these are the rules, and we're going to make sure you stay with them. And that's why I think you're better off to centralize your sales force in connection with federal government sales, so you can keep a leash on these people who are, after all, just trying to go sell, which is what they're trained to do.
And I guess if you are doing federal sales for a company that's not basically oriented toward federal, you've got a pretty big internal education to do so that your employer, understands the federal sales cycles and the pricing dynamics and all of those things that are very different from what the boss is used to.
That is a huge challenge. And unfortunately, when you get budget cuts, training is the first thing to go. And so this is a very, very fertile area for investigators and IGs, and you've hit it on the nail on the head. This is a real problem for people. You've got to know what your sales force is doing.
And so how difficult is it for a company to rejigger its, say, financial systems or accounting systems such that it can accommodate the federal rules without ruining everything for the rest of the company?
Well, it's a challenge, and maybe what you want to do is set up a separate division so you don't have to do that, and it might be a lot easier for you. But it's not cheap. You've got to go through it. But when you look at the possible consequences of not doing it and weigh the two, you've got to be very prudent about this and make sure you take these protective actions. We see it all the time. Those auditors come in, and the first thing they look at is the adequacy of your accounting system. And if it's not adequate, you're already starting in the end zone.